There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. Brooke Bivett mentors women to find their true bliss, their identity, and to let go of overwhelm, anxiety, and trauma, enabling them to become their own self-healers. Through breathwork and trauma release techniques, Brooke's clients find their true inner power. Like so many guests I chat with around the world, we had so much in common in the way we help others to be the change. Welcome, Brooke, to The Ethical Evolution.
Thank you for having me, Bindi. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome now. You're joining us right here in Australia from Melbourne, where I believe you are in the most lockdown city in the world, but we're not going to talk about that. thank you for joining us. Can you tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure thing. I'm actually a little bit an hour out of Melbourne, so I'm in regional, which is good, a bit luckier for others. But my name is Brooke Bivett. My main basis of work is leaning on the trauma in women and coming through from my own life experience, as most of us healers work through our own journeys through this wonderful place we call life, the human life. I guess my story starts with my own journey of childhood trauma and navigating that for several years, which then later manifested into seizures, and it was diagnosed in the Western world as epilepsy.
Wow.
So that started me on a very in-tuned journey of self-healing and knowing that there was more than just being on drugs for the rest of my life, which was the only answer the doctors could give me and still can give me. So that was the amazing journey I was gifted in this life, and it's been fabulous. I spent 20 years after that diving into modality after modality after modality. Basically, that's my human design as well, to test everything out with before my clients, you know, just testing what works, what doesn't. That was 25 years ago now. So after journeying through of that, found the most incredible work, done a lot of training myself as well, and adore the transformations I get to make in people's lives now.
Yeah, so what you do must be so rewarding. But, I mean, I'm finding in the work that I do that trauma is becoming so, so common. People are talking about it more, and all of the aspects of trauma, you know, the shame, the biology it changes within us, the impacts it has on our lives, to the point of, you know, how we react to life, how we behave, and just how we survive. And, you know, I think it's something we need to talk more about. How do you help people, one, recognize that and start to work through that and break through it?
It's such a great point there, because we're living in such a high traumatized world. I mean, not to mention the last 18 months, but before that even, it's this modern world. We're traumatized on the daily, and people might think that's a dramatic way to say it, but it's the experiences we live through each day. Our nervous system is living on fight or flight 99% of the time. Our children have these high expectations they have to live through, and what we, where I can make that, make it simply awaken my clients to that is just their everyday lives, seeing them, how are you waking up each day? You know, are you jumping out of bed excited each day, or are you struggling to, oh my God, I've got to get through another day? You know, is it, you know, just the simplest things, and just getting back to the basics of how much happiness am I actually living in my life, and where am I seeing the happiness, or have I turned into that automatic robotic state that we all see as normal?
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes it takes a moment for us to reflect and actually go, you know what, I can't, I'm drawing a blank, you know, I'm not loving life. And when you get hit with that, I mean, it can really, you know, turn you into a tailspin. And I know, you know, again, we're not going to talk about the last 18 months, but people are affected, right? So it's, a lot of people are being more reclusive. They're not being social. They're very hypervigilant. And, you know, they just want to stay safe. And it's just changed us. It really has.
Yeah. Yep. It's like the work I do on steroids at the moment. You know, it's that comfort zone that I've spoken about for years and years, and the, you know, people staying in their comfort zone and feeling safe and secure and in the mediocre of life, thinking that there's nothing better out there. And that's what a lot of people are doing right now. And that's, you know, that's how a lot of people live their lives till the day they die, thinking that there's nothing else better out there, because they've not prepared to look at the trauma or look at the darkness. And one of my biggest things I can't stand is this love and light bullshit that this spiritual world spreads across. I mean, it's fabulous. It's great. The love, don't get me wrong, but there has to be a balance. And to get to the light and the love, you have to struggle and cram your way through the darkness and do the work. You know, if you want to live that happiness and bliss, you've got to get through there. And so many people start their healing journeys and with this spiritual world, they expect the whole love and light journey, and it just, it's nothing happens, and they're sitting there wondering, why aren't I healing? Why aren't I getting better? Why hasn't my disease, you know, a lot of trauma based, 99% is around emotions and illness is caused. So they're like, why haven't I cured myself? And it's because they're doing all this love and light manifestations, visuals, you know, all of this stuff that's fantastic. But if you're not pushing into your resistance and those edges and the darkness, then nothing's going to happen. And it's why so many people give up on this journey. They give up, or the spiritual world gets such a bad name. Mm. It gets such a bad flack because all that shit doesn't work. It didn't do anything for me.
That's it. People have to do the work, don't they? Like, they think, I'll just go see this practitioner or this healer or whatever, and I'll be fine, you know. And they think they only have to do it once too. It's a perpetual thing, you know, because we evolve as humans, so does our healing. And it's not linear either. It's very up and down. And, you know, we may get to a level of healing and evolution, and, you know, it's not over. As long as we live and breathe, it is not over. You know, all the things that you think you've dug up from the past in that darkness that you talk of, there's always more.
Abso-friggin-lutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I was saying this to my tribe just yesterday, how I was just journeying through this week some more layers of my own trauma this week with this energy. And you know, it was still some of my childhood trauma, and some of them were like, "Oh, Brooke, but you've been doing this work for so long. Why are you still going through this?" And it's like, this is lifelong, you know. It's just like the, you know, peeling of an onion. Mm. It's layers and layers and layers, and we get triggered, like I said before, every day different triggers come through, and we just have to feel them and release them and allow them to flow through. There's nothing, there's never an end point. There's never an end game. Mm. It's that continuous flow of doing the work and honoring this incredible vessel and this body's wisdom and intelligence that we can't even fathom.
Mm. So what kind of things are you seeing? Now, you mentioned earlier that you're working primarily with women and the trauma that they've been through. What's your process when a woman comes to see you?
Yeah. So it's really just getting them to their truth, the absolute truth of where they're at. And sometimes that can be, like I said, that can be something they don't want to see.
Mm.
It's the darkness that, or the avoidance or the ignoring that they haven't wanted to see for maybe decades. And but it's done in a loving way that makes them feel safe and supported, and finally someone who's actually hearing them and seeing them for the first time most of the time. So there's that opportunity for them to see, wow, I can actually let this go now and see an opportunity here. And then we can move into the deeper wounding. It's like a ladder. We level up through the layers, through the journey, getting deeper and deeper, and using, I mean, my most powerful modality I use is breath work. Mm. And I cannot be more grateful for finding that for my own journey, and now get to use that with everyone. It's so powerful.
And, you know, it's something that I talk about so much. I think I drive people a bit crazy about talking about breath and breathing. I've even got a shirt, you know, that reminds people to breathe. I've even got a tattoo reminding people to breathe. But, you know, it's one of those things that's really underestimated, you know. And, you know, the quote that I have on my arm is something that I think was really profound at the time, and it stuck with me. And it basically is, it's the first thing we do when we're born, the last thing we do when we die, but it's the breaths in between that count.
Mm.
So a lot of us, you know, when we've got this nervous system that's in this high state of flux all the time, we just don't breathe. Or if we do, it's very shallow, and we're not conscious of our actual being, like our breath within us.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take a moment and actually focus on it, you're like, Oh yeah, I do breathe. Whoops. But then when you do more conscious breath work, where you're actually, you know, doing somatic kind of breathing and all of that kind of stuff, it can take you places, you know, that you've never been.
Abso-friggin-lutely. Yeah. It's so funny. I have a friend who's like, breath work, you know, breath work. I've been breathing all my life. What do you mean? Everyone breathes.
Well, they think they do.
No. Like this big joke. It's there's so many different techniques that I use depending on, you know, depending where you want to take them, what the trauma is, where you, what the end result we're trying to achieve, and what the outcome we're desiring. And it's just, yes, the places you get to go, the activating that gamma brainwave state is, and the, you know, releasing the natural DMT, our natural psychedelics, just the happy hormones. Mm-hmm. Like it's just the you know, the endorphins, this natural healing states of the body that people think you need something else for. You know, I need drugs to do that, or I need a doctor to fix me, or I need someone else to do the job. All you need is yourself and your body. It's all within you, you know, as corny and as common as that is, it's all within you.
We're equipped with everything we need. And we just don't see it. We think that everything else is a quick fix, but we are basically equipped with everything we're ever going to need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, in the work that you do, can you tell us, without identifying anyone, you know, what kind of change you've helped people to make?
Yeah, sure. I get a lot of, which is really interesting. It must be the vibration, the frequency drawing in. I get a lot of family violence, abused mothers, single mothers, coming to me the last few years, which has been such an incredible eye-opener for myself as well, and just seeing their journey, seeing the struggles, the absolute survival pattern and strength and courage that they've had, seeing them to fully release that trauma that's sitting in that cellular memory, and then having them say, you know, because when we release it from ourselves, we're also healing that cellular trauma from our children as well. So when they've had children involved, full family violence, seeing when they come back and say, oh my God, my son's awakened as well. Mm. And he's a completely changed person. He's talking to me again. He's coming out of his room. He's feeling, talking to his friends, and just that change, energetic change in their personalities. A lot of grief work is a beautiful, a big thing as well, which is something it's instant. But for more of the longer work too, is that real discovery of self and remembrance for women, especially. Women, we forget who we are. We have no, you know, the labels of being a mother, being a wife, being a, you know, just all getting rid of all the labels. And who am I, you know, who is Brooke? Who am I without all the labels? It's such a... So, you know, I call it the number one modern day problem for women, because it's so sad, women going through life without knowing their own passions, knowing what they even enjoy anymore.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the coaching work that I do with women as well, I see a trend that, you know, once we start to tiptoe into our 40s, yes, there's this, I don't know, it's almost like an epidemic of its own, that they have lost who they are. They have lost what their passion is. They've lost their joy. You know, most likely they've had children, a relationship. Most often there's issues in that relationship. They want to think about their purpose again, whether they want a career, whether they want to make a difference in the world. And then they just want to be happy, you know, just the basic joy of being happy. And I know I've sat with several women and we've just dug so deep just to find the simple joy to make life happy again. And we just work through those kind of things. But no doubt you'd see the same thing too, where women just lose themselves.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I'm turning 40 next year, and it's beautiful to be able to working with a lot of, majority of my clients are in that 35 to 60 age bracket. Mm. And, you know, exactly like you said, when they're coming into that, when the kids have left home and it's like, who am I now? Yeah. When I don't have to cook dinner for the kids, when my husband's busy, you know, who am I now? It's that whole realization and awakening of, oh shit, what am I going to do for the rest of my life?
Mm. And it's also training the brain to go, well, I'm not used to doing something for myself. It's always for somebody else. I always put myself last. And it's about, you know, putting themselves first and actually understanding that they are of value for their time. And that, I mean, that's decades of retraining right there.
Absolutely. The severe guilt that comes with that, guilt, you know, the being the lowest vibration we can feel, and you know, I have one woman say to me, I've had such a great life. I haven't had that much problems. I had a great childhood, a great upbringing, and but I'm just not sure what I'm to do, and I actually don't know who I am, and then And then it clicked and I was like, there it is, there it is. And she's like, I feel guilty for being so happy. Like there's...
Yeah, yeah.
There's always something there. She didn't think there was anything wrong because she'd had such a great life and no trauma and everything, but that's the trauma is the guilt of feeling that way because her sister had such a horrible life. And, yes, it's all... Yeah.
One of the conversations I've been having a lot lately, and I actually did a podcast episode on this recently, was around shame. And we had a panel where we talked with some doctors and psychologists about this. And one of the things that came up was gaslighting. And, you know, the people I've spoken to since that episode, trying to raise the awareness about gaslighting, it's almost part of the Australian culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to someone the other day and I had an accident recently where I'd hurt myself and everybody just played it down. Like, yeah, you'll be right, you know, walk it off kind of thing. But, you know, there's really traumatic events that happen to us, like from when we're children to adults, that generally our mothers or parents or even other family members play down and just go, nah, you'll be right, nothing really happened, just get over it.
Yes.
That's another big part of this trauma, right?
Oh, huge, huge, huge. Mother wounds, ancestral. I do a lot of work with ancestral wounds and generational patterns and family wounding, and it's massive. And then not to mention, especially right now in the global shift that's happening, this incredible divine feminine that's coming through and the ancient feminine wounds that we're all feeling, especially those of us who have that spiritual connection, we're feeling all the wounds that everyone else isn't able to connect to right now as well. So it's women of the world right now are feeling so much, and we are so beyond amazing. It just, I mean, life creators.
And one of the things that you touched on before that, that, you know, I think a lot of people aren't aware of is that ancestral trauma as well. Like you can be suffering something that hasn't even happened in your lifetime.
Yeah.
And I'm reading this book at the moment, which is all about trauma by this doctor, and he is incredible. And he talks about this, you know, like, I did 2 years healing with a sound healer, and she was telling me, we used to do a podcast together, and she was telling me that genetically you could tell if someone had Irish background because they had this energy from the potato famine. And so you could tell in their heritage just by a healing that they were Irish. Like that kind of stuff stays with people and they're not even conscious of it.
Yes, yes. It's like the Holocaust right now.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. You'd probably see that in the healing that you do too.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially because it comes up when you're in the breath work, it's the subconscious speaking. So it's completely unconscious and these thoughts that come up, people come into a session and they've got, right, I'm going to work on this today and this and this and this and I'm going to clear this, and they have a list of things they want to work on, and then all this other stuff comes through and they're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that to come through.
I know what that's like.
Exactly. It's like, and that's when you know it's really working, because you're like, oh, that's a surprise. Oh, I'd forgotten about that, or wow, that felt so real, that memory, or, you know, it's...
And to find out about past life stuff as well has really blown my mind. Some of the things I learned, I was like, whoa, okay, so things make sense now. Yeah. Exactly. And if we open ourselves up to that understanding, we can learn so much more about ourselves, and I think it really helps us connect to who we are.
There's been nothing, I mean... It sounds so simple, and it's like, you know, the human part of me, the ego part of me is like, why don't more people just get this? Like,
yeah.
Who wouldn't want to know their past lives, you know? Who wouldn't want to do this?
I find it fascinating. I'm like, why wouldn't you want to know that stuff? But, I mean, you know, there's the skeptic in us all that goes, yeah, right, this is bullshit. But in all honesty, like, if you just let go of the ego and you let go of all those, you know, preconceived notions and just believe and trust, the change that you can make within yourself is incredible.
I like to say one of my favorite quotes is you never understand it until you've experienced it. And it, I mean, until you've experienced a breathwork journey and actually had these memories and awakenings and this, and, you know, like I said, that surprise shock of, oh my God, I'm going, when you're seeing these visuals come through, that's when you go, oh, okay. Okay, I'm more than just a flesh and blood and bones and human body. I'm so much more. And that is implicitly what I want to get through to women, is just that idea of we are beyond the body, and there's so much magic within us that we're not accessing.
And it's not just woo-woo. Like,
oh God, no.
It is real. Now, one of the things I like to ask guests on the show, because, you know, we are the ethical evolution, what does the word ethical mean to you?
So, yeah, truth just comes through straight away, is being able to be truth and integrity and standing in your truth and knowing, even when it hurts to see the truth, and being that integral part of you that's here to be more than what you've actually been programmed to think you are. You know, the conditioning of who we're expected to be, and the put in a box of the limitations of how far we can actually get in our lives, that whole expansion of our truth and awareness is, yeah, ethics is, it's such a huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that how to put it all in.
And I love asking that question because there's no wrong answer, you know?
No, you got me off on a whole tangent.
That's the plan. Now, what are you working on at the moment? What are your future plans? Are you working on anything exciting we need to know about?
I have my online program, which is a continual thing that goes on, my 8-week online program with women. So we're up to week 3 with that at the moment. So the women are having just getting really into the nitty gritty now, and I am really, really, really praying and hoping I can get my retreats back up and running again next year once we can all travel again. The retreat work is really a deep passion, to be able to do the in person work. I use kinesiology, Reiki, energy healing, which is now more into what I call my turquoise bliss healing work. And because it's all unique, we all have a different unique way of expressing our healing energy. It's not by a book, by someone's, you know, the way someone's taught it to you. I don't believe in that at all. It's all very unique for each one of us. And, yeah, just to be able to get my hands on people again and lead them through those breathwork journeys as well, and do all of the embodied movement, the dance work, the somatic work is my deep, deep passion. So, yeah, retreats would be great. But doing a few workshops here and there as well where I can here in Victoria. But, yeah, just doing what we can, I guess, in this.
Yeah, I mean,
world at the moment,
there is a light at the end of the tunnel,
and, it's coming,
and we've just got to focus on that, I think. But yeah, I think we've been very innovative through this time to still connect with people. I think as long as we can keep that human connection going, I think that is the most important thing to get us through this time.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And that's what I've said to the women. I've actually extended this program that's running at the moment to the end of the year, because I feel like the next few months are the most pivotal point of this awakening. And more than ever, we need support and we need a tribe. We need connection. We need people to be talking about our feelings, our emotions. Like I said, the women are we're feeling all these ancient wounds coming to the surface. It's a time we can't do it alone.
Mm.
Cannot do this alone. Even, you know, like I'm needing, you know, all of us leaders, I'm needing to talk to someone daily. I'm doing my rituals daily. Like this is so important.
And that's a really good point you raised there, is that, you know, no matter who we are and where we've reached in our journey, we still need people. Yep. You know, even the most evolved and healed of us all, we need people. And, you know, be that person for someone, and also, you know, reach out for others, because, we cannot do this alone.
No.
Now, Brooke, if people want to find out more about you, where can they go?
You can check out my Facebook, Brooke Byvett, which is B-Y-V-O-E-T, or my Turquoise Bliss page. I'm on Instagram as well, and you can check out all my stuff on there as well. So
awesome. Now I have the last big question for you. What's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
Oh, that's a big question. It's funny, as a from a very, very, very young age, very little girl, I've always had the wisdom of I'm going to change the world, and not knowing really how I was going to do it until you know, really, really knowing how I was going to do it. And it all comes back to our truth, the truth, and knowing the truth. And I get so worked up around, like I said earlier, the covering up and the you know, people in this industry who are just maybe out to make money and the quick fix or the quick healing, or just come and see me for a healing, get their quick money and off you go, and it hasn't done a damn thing.
Mm.
I'm in it for the real transformational changes, lifetime changes, and for them to see their divine truth and live out their absolute limitless potential.
Mm.
And I want every single human on the planet, women awakening their truth, that then awakens the men as well, because the women have the most divine healing power on the planet, and that beautiful divine feminine healing energy will heal this world.
Mm. And, you know, that's where you and I are so much on the same page, Brooke. You know, like I see the hustle every day of, you know, you see it on Instagram, you see it on Facebook, and you're just like, oh, it just hits you in the gut, and you're just like, you know, just looking at it, that it's not going to help anyone. But, you know, people like you and I are here to help people make that change and be the change. She's got the shirt. So, look, I have to thank you, Brooke, for joining us today. It has been an absolute joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Bindi, so much. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do and everything you speak. It's amazing.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution Podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world, and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.